This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I am coming to you today in an audio version of a message that was published in December of the year 2001. This message is being transcribed to audio in February of the year 2024. That makes it the fact that this is a little over 22 years ago. Now, the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because in a lot of the messages that I'm transcribing from old publications of messages, I'm reading the track that was published back then. I might make mention of people, places, things, or events that were relevant at that particular time when this message was first published. And today they may or may not be relevant. When I come to a situation like that, I'll try to give you a heads up. However, when it comes down to the Word of God, we need to understand one thing. And that is, when it comes to the Word of God, it is always relevant. Yesterday, today, and forever. That means it was relevant 6,000 years ago. It's relevant today. And if the Lord should tarry, it will be relevant 6,000 years from today. And those of you that are exposed to it, in other words, those of you that are listening to this message or reading it or however you get it, you would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly to it. Now, our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 28 and verse number 19. And this is for the for December of the year 2001. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." The title for this message is Explaining the Trinity. Let me repeat that. Explaining the Trinity. Now, this month I am going to explain just what it is that I believe about this subject that has many Christians confused when trying to explain it to other people. First, I know that some will not agree with what I'm about to say, but I do believe that the explanations that I will give are what God has shown me. If after you read or hear this, you still disagree, then no problem. We will just have to agree to disagree. Now, the word Trinity is not a word found in the Bible. It is used sort of like a nickname to describe the totality of God, which is manifested in three entities, and that is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Other terms for this are triune and the biblical term Godhead. Triune is T-R-I-U-N-E. But like I said, the other term is also the Godhead. Now, if you go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse number 29, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, and Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9, you will see the words Godhead being used. What we usually say is that there is one God manifested in three, or triune or Trinity, persons. One God manifested in three persons. Now, God has given me wisdom to see this relationship several ways. From a family standpoint, the relationship Father, Son, and Holy Ghost portrays a family. You should realize this. The word God, even though used in the gendered form as male, in other words, he, his, or him, and such, is actually a title. It is the title that is given to all three manifestations of the Godhead by us. We say sometimes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. To put this in family terms, it is like your last name. All members of the same family have the same last name. All different individuals, but with the same name, N-I-E, in other words, like Smith or Jones or Carter, or like in my case, McTire. Everyone from the same family having the same authority when it comes to the family-owned business. The mere fact that it is a member of the family, or a person is a member of the family, gives them total rights to do whatever the head of the family directs. Are you understanding? In other words, if a business is family owned, then any member of that family can come into that business and do whatever they want to do within that business, provided the one that is the head of the family allows or gives permission for them to do it. Same thing if you go on a job or something like that, you can only do what your boss tell you to do. Well, when it comes down to the family-owned business, the head of the family is the boss of the family, and what happens in the family is up to the head. Anyway, in like manner, all creation is the family God's business, and they run it perfectly, talking about all of creation. That means the earth, everything above the earth, in the earth, under the earth, on the earth, in the waters, in the seas, everything. God has set things up where the Godhead, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit run the show. And all three being part of the family, the three different individuals of the family, all of them have control over everything that happens on this earth. And all three, unlike what you would have in the world and usually with the in the carnal sense, all three run this earth and everything in it perfectly. I added that part in. You won't find that on the written portion. In the case of the Trinity or Godhead, the Father gives the orders. The Son follows them, and the Holy Ghost does as the Son directs. And since the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are so in one accord with the Father, they are all called one or God. In other words, you won't find anything going on between in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You won't find any area where they are off track with each other. They are all perfectly in line with each other. You can't get it any more perfect than that. Now, that's something else I added in there. Anyway, let's go on. When you read in Genesis chapter 1 where it says, in the beginning, God, and then, and God said, we are actually looking at the Godhead, which speaks, which back then, Jesus was known as the Word. It is made clearer in St. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verse number 14, where it says, St. John chapter 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. And then you go down to verse number 14 and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is where we get the idea of calling Jesus God manifested in the flesh, or just calling him God. Either way, they both fit. The second example explains the different manifestations of God: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the same light that we look at water, ice, and steam. I use this to explain how can God be in Jesus and be in heaven and have his spirit descending on Jesus and still maintain all of his power. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness or basic characteristics of the Godhead bodily. Looking at the relationship of water, ice, and steam. We know that they are all the same thing. They are all water, whose chemical makeup is H2O. One is a liquid, one is a solid, and the other is a gas. Using water as the basic, it is a liquid. You can do many things with it. You can drink it, you can swim in it, you can cook with it, and make other things with it. Ice is also water, but it is water that has been transformed from a liquid to a solid. As a solid, some of the characteristics that it had as a liquid are gone. If you put water into any vessel, it will take the form of the inside of that vessel. When it becomes ice, it will maintain the shape that it was in when it was frozen, unless someone forms it to make it fit into another shape, you know, in case, you know, chisel on it or something like that. As a solid, it is limited in some areas, but it still maintains all of its original characteristics. If you thaw it out, it will be as it was before, a liquid. In some ways, when the Word of God became flesh, He was limited in some of the things that He could do as God. He was limited as to His being able to be everywhere at the same time. And until the time came when He was anointed by the Father to begin His ministry, He didn't have the power to do the things that He did while He was here. Also, it is evident that unless He lied about it, He didn't know when His second coming would be, even though the Father knew or knows. Mark chapter 13, verse number 32 says this: "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Now, steam is the third part of the water trinity, if you will. Unlike the solid and the liquid, it can move over and cover a much broader area, even though it is the same quantity. Water in the form of steam represents power. Steam is used to drive machinery like generators, engines, and can be used to heat and cook things. Steam is the power side of water, sort of like the Holy Ghost is the power side of God. No matter which state it is in, it maintains all of its basic characteristics. That is, it, steam, is still H2O or water. Many people get the notion that when a Christian says Jesus is God, that somehow we are taking something away from the Father. They think that God the Father is diminished somewhat, because if all the fullness of God is in Jesus, then the Father can't be as powerful as he was before Jesus was born. But that, just like the water, all of the basic characteristics are present in each. If a father has a son or a daughter, his, the father's, seed is in the child, but the father is still who he was before the seed was passed from him. In the last part, we see in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Verse number 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now, if we are created in his image, then we must be made just like him. The Bible tells us that we are three-part beings. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 23, you'll find these words recorded. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This definitely tells me that I am made up of three separate parts. Yet those three parts together make up my total self. Now, if I am made in the image of God, and I am a three-part being, then doesn't it stand to reason that God, who made me in his image, would also be a three-part entity? In a comparison of ourselves and God, the Bible uses the analogy found in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 7. This is not the Gospel of John. This is 1 John. You had to go back to the book of Revelations and come forward about 3 or 4 books, and you'll see 1 John and then go to chapter 5 verse number 7. And we'll find these words recorded. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Now, much confusion has been brought about by those that seem to think that if you take Jesus and put him one place apart from God, that you now only have a two-part being, and that is not the case. Remember, Jesus is the Word made flesh. As I said back, St. John chapter 1, verses 1, and then go down to verse number 14. The key to this is Jesus is the Word. Words are what we use to communicate with, whether written, spoken, or signed. You know, for deaf communication, we relay our thoughts, desires, and even our very being through words. Words are so important that Jesus once said in Mark chapter 7, verse number 15, "There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." Now, that means naturally, if you speaking negative about things or negative about somebody or whatever the case may be, then that's what's actually defiling you, versus the fact that people saying, well, what if you eat something that's poisonous or something like that? Well, according to God's word, if you're saved, now this only goes for people that are saved, this is what I'm adding in now, if you're saved, the Bible, Jesus said a part of the Great Commission where he says that the people, if they eat or drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. So that can't really defile you if, you know, if you're saved and doing what you're supposed to do as far as walking with God, then you don't have to worry about that. But like he said, the things which come out of him, out of a man, through his mouth, those are they that defile the man. Now, there are several things that come out of man. Apart from the natural functions of the body, which clearly is not what Jesus is referring to, the only thing Jesus could be talking about is words. The very words you speak can either make you righteous or they can defile you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Words mean little to us, but everything to God. They are reflections of the individual's true nature. Another meaning for reflection is image. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 34, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If you really want to know a person's true nature, let them talk long enough and you will find out. You will know it. Well, with God, his word is him. Everything that God is revealed in his word. Now, if you take all the words that God has ever spoken or said and bundled them up into a package and gave them a body, you would have Jesus. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Therefore, he is the fullness of God because he is the Word of God. This is why we have the Apostle Paul saying in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." As I mentioned at the beginning, there is much confusion about the Trinity when in fact there shouldn't be. certain groups have taken the term Trinity and have built what amounts to a cult out of it. They say that if you don't believe in it, then you are not saved. The Bible says that our salvation depends on our belief in Jesus Christ, not the Trinity, even though it refers to the Godhead. Even if we consider those that say they believe in God, that isn't enough. Once again, the Bible lets us know in James chapter 2, verse number 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Notice the scripture says that there is but one God, not two or three, but one. Another way we could look at it is the government of this nation. We have one government that is made up of three branches. We have the executive branch, which is the president and his cabinet and his staff. We have the administrative branch, which is the Senate, and we have the legislative, which is the Congress. All three are the government, and they, in an ideal setting, would function together and should all be in one accord. But alas, that is not the way it is, because man is involved. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, in situations like this, man tries to get together to do things. There's always somebody going to disagree and want to do something one way versus somebody else want to say, no, I think I want to do it this way. And they can't get along and they argue and go their separate ways and things like that, and we can't seem to get anything done. Well, that's not the case with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons that when we try to explain the Trinity, people can't figure it out, how it could possibly work, because they are considering how man's government works, and they think the Godhead is the same way, which I just said it is not. However, God's way is so far higher than ours that trying to figure it out totally, and the way that he does things is so far out of our way of thinking, that if some of us hear it, we would say, that is ludicrous. However, that's just the way it is. So I hope this explains the Trinity the way I believe God has shown me. If you choose to disagree, then that's all right. We are still brothers and sisters in the Lord. Well, that's the end of this message. And as you see, explaining the Godhead, the Trinity, and the like, you know, the Father, how can three be one and still have all the powers and the abilities? Like I said, all of that is so far above our way of thinking that you can't really figure everything out. But see, just like Jesus, when he was here, when he was given parables were Jesus was giving us earthly examples or things that we could understand to explain how things are in the kingdom of God or in the spirit realm. And as such, by him doing that, we could get a basic picture of how things go. And see, this is why I say God gave me these little examples of the water and the ice and the case of the family and the business and how the family is set up and how that we ourselves are three-part beings. There's three of us here, that the body and the soul and the spirit. And all of these things give us a clear understanding that since we are made in the image of God, and since we are three-part beings, then God has to be a three-part being as well. And like I said, St. John chapter number 1 gives us the identity of the birth of Christ and what Christ was when he was here. He was God in the flesh. And if you read the story of him when he was born up until the time he was baptized by John the Baptist, he was just like you and me, just a regular boy running around, sitting up in the temples and things, learning from the elders. He wasn't like some of the other kids, that would all be playing around, playing tag and stuff. He was in the temples and synagogues and things, learning about the word of God, but he didn't have any power. But then when he got baptized and came up out of the water, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and rested on him. From that point on, that was the inducement of the power that allowed him to be able to do what he did during his ministry. Then when he died, his disciples, he told them to go into the upper room and stay there until they would be endued with power. And once again, the Holy Ghost came down in this particular instance, like cloven tongues of fire that sat on all of the people that were in the upper room, the 120 of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And so that's letting you know that the God is still able to do the same things for us that he did for Jesus when we choose to accept Christ as our Lord and begin to want to do what is necessary to please the Father. God will empower you with his Holy Spirit. And when he does that, it not only gives you power to do miraculous things, it also opens up the eyes of your understanding so you can understand God more. Because actually, if you want to understand God, who's the best person to ask about it? Not me. Not your pastor, not your bishop. You want to understand God? Ask God. And the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Well, I hope that clarifies the idea about what the Trinity is, and hopefully you can understand it a little better and move on to other things. Well, in closing, once again, this is Evangelist George McTyre saying, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message. Good day.